this misconception is very, very popular in the fitness industry, because the fitness industry is kind of carb phobic. They're scared of carbs because they believe carbs will make you fat, and they don't want to eat plant protein because they are attached to carbs. But of course, when you look at the slimmest populations, and just from personal experience and coaching so many people, and even scientific studies are made now showing that people who are trying to lose weight on higher amounts of carbs are able to sustain more muscle mass and lose fat more efficiently than those who are restricting carbohydrates too much. So I think it's just, you know, myths out there that have no kind of science backing them up. And it's just about, you know, being an example and showing that carbs aren't, you know, bad, that you don't need as much protein, and it's okay to get less protein in your diet. You're not going to be sacrificing anything. You know, I could see that it was possible to gain weight on a vegan diet as well. I was getting stronger faster than ever before. I remember my main compound lifts were just shooting up in the first weeks. My digestion completely fixed itself within maybe, you know, a couple of days, which was insane. So yeah, my fat, body fat melted away. I was still making gains in the gym. When I switched from whole foods, the amazing thing that I learned straight away was that, wow, I don't need to diet and starve myself to lose my body fat as I used to do before. I can just eat healthy whole plant foods with adequate amounts of protein, carbs, and fats, and, you know, just have my body fat melt off and still, you know, maintain my strength and progressively make gains in the gym, which was just, it felt like I discovered this crazy hack like that no one was doing online. And yeah, I was just so passionate about spreading this message and information. And again, at that time, I don't think anyone else was doing it.
This is Conversations with Changemakers with me, your host, Gary Tirola. Every week, I bring you an inspiring leader that is rethinking what it means to be a changemaker. During these conversations, I slowly peel back the layers of the minds of our future leaders that are using their skills to positively impact this world.
Welcome back, listeners, to another episode of Conversations with Changemakers. This week is super exciting. I'm chatting to you from Bali, where it is very hot, and we've got a very exciting guest, John Venus, that is sitting in Norway in opposite weather. Welcome, John.
Thank you so much for having me.
No, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking time to join us and our listeners all over the world. And for those of you that know John, you know exactly what we're talking about. For those of you that don't, John is the epitome of an eight-pack. John is the epitome of a bicep. And the great thing about it is he is plant-powered. He's teaching health, fitness, and a mindset as a plant-based coach. And you've got a tagline, John, finding true health and fitness. What does this mean to you?
Yeah, so obviously, as you know, and as many people who are plant-based or vegan know, the information out there is very confusing, right? So a lot of people fall into different traps, and especially health and nutrition traps, right? For fads and all kinds of weird training techniques. So my mission is just, you know, instead of saying that I know everything and that I have the answers, I kind of try to explain to people that I'm on a quest as well, right? I'm on a mission to find, you know, what's a true health and true fitness for myself, and sharing what I learn with people. So, of course, because of that, I am, you know, 100% vegan, because the science is backing this diet up like crazy. So, of course, it's not all about science. It's all about, you know, for me personally, it's also a lot about ethics and environment, that kind of stuff. But in terms of health and fitness, it's just about trying to be as objective as possible and gradually progressing towards, you know, the best version of yourself.
Yeah, sure. And before we get into the nitty gritty of like your beliefs, your research behind a plant-based diet and the benefits thereof, you obviously were not born vegan. And you didn't just turn up like this bodybuilder as we are in 2020. What is John's story? How did you grow up, and how did you find veganism or a plant-based lifestyle, should I say?
Sure. So I have a little bit of an unusual upbringing. So I was born in the States, but left after, you know, 10 months, and basically spent the remaining 18 years of my childhood just moving from country to country, changed schools probably like 20 times because of my dad's job. He had to move a lot, and you know, he changed positions a lot, and opportunities came up, and every time he got a new job, we had to move countries for some reason, or at least cities. Moved around a lot. And that kind of, I think, was responsible for me developing a little bit more of an objective point of view, because I was always, I always had to get thrown into a new culture, always had to let go of certain things that I learned from previous countries and then kind of adopt new ideas and these things. So I think that kind of helped a lot in you know, becoming vegan later on in my life. I was never good at school. That's a fun fact. I had to repeat a year here and there. Was horrible. Never enjoyed myself in school. Always said that I would never, have a job and never kind of like do what my dad was doing, which was, traveling for work and these things and just spending a lot of time in the office. So his work kind of motivated me not to want to go down that path as well. So I was already set up for a very unusual career or path, I think, just because of the way things were in my childhood. So I'd say it was about 7 years ago now. My brother, Leo, who's now a doctor, he came back home one day and announced to the whole family of heavy meat eaters that he was no longer going to eat meat, dairy, eggs, anything that comes from animal products, which was a huge shock because, 2 times a week, us as a family would gather around the barbecue and have, one time a week would have red meat and chicken hearts and all these sausages and things like that. Very typical Brazilian barbecues.
Yeah.
And on the next day we would have a more seafood barbecue with all kinds of different seafood. So those were kind of like the bonding time for our family and a very, very strong tradition for that. And our family tradition was so strong, especially because, again, we moved around from country to country all the time. So we didn't have, lifelong friends or anything like that. So that's why, that was extra important for us just to have that bonding time together. So it was a really big shock to me, especially because, food and tradition is very emotional, right? So I took it as a big insult and on behalf of my parents mostly. I thought it was stupid, but most of all, I thought that was a very big kind of F you to my dad and mom. I gave him a hard time about it, but I didn't really pay attention to it. I was definitely not inspired to look into it. And I definitely didn't think that he was going to be able to, be a fit person on this diet because, at that point I just started, weightlifting and bodybuilding. And, obviously you think that you need a lot of protein, a lot of animal products to make gains and get stronger in the gym. So I was like, at least I'm going to be 10 times stronger than this guy. he kind of just backed off. He wasn't pushy or anything. He went vegan for health reasons because he was studying bioengineering at that time and he watched Forks Over Knives, so he had all the science evidence, blah, 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 which was really not important to me. Health was never kind of the priority for me at that time. It was just fitness and bodybuilding and being successful in my life and filmmaking or whatever I was focusing on at that time.
Had you already started your YouTube channel at that stage?
I wasn't consistent, but I had a YouTube channel. I had an Instagram. I wasn't making a living off of it, but I was starting out at that point. Yeah, for sure. So two years later, me and my girlfriend at the time, now wife, Catherine, decided out of our own kind of initiative. I don't remember exactly what got us to want to do it. I think we just kind of ran out of movies to watch. And then we came across Earthlings, which obviously for anyone who's watched Earthlings, they know how heartbreaking it is. So watched that, was not interested in watching any health documentary. So that was kind of like, more interesting for me. And
did that hit home for you watching Earthlings when you were coming from a point of view where it was all about gains and it was all about animal protein? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I've always prided myself in being a very, caring person and very kind and open-minded. So when I watched Earthling, it was a big kind of shock. Like, of course, we all understand that we're eating animals and we understand that they have to die for them to arrive on your plate, right? But at the same time, we have no attachment to animals. I never kind of, petted a pig or or, you know, suck cows and chickens and these things in real life, because that's not how the world is anymore, right? So just, you know, looking at, I think I connected with pigs the most, right, in that documentary, and it was super sad, especially because I've always been a dog lover. I always had dogs growing up as a child. So yeah, that movie really struck home. It was really, you know, sad. And after that movie was done, me and my girlfriend just looked at each other and we're like, we had to at least, you know, do something or try at least give our best shot to, you know, find an alternative way of living and see if it kind of works out, you know, because that was, it was too much. It was awful, everything that was in that movie, right?
And of course, I mean, like the penny really does drop when you, if you're able to sit down and watch that entire movie.
Yeah, 100%. And like for me, I didn't find it, you know, hard to watch in terms of like the gore and the blood, because I guess I'm used to watching action movies or horror movies and that kind of stuff. It was more like the reality of it, right? It was just, you know, seeing their eyes and seeing their fear and their panic and just connecting to them emotionally, even though it was through a old laptop with a, you know, 144 pixels or whatever that movie is, and on YouTube, still it was enough for me to really connect on an emotional level, and my wife as well. So we decided right there and then to go vegan. Actually, I had one more ice cream and then I went vegan straight away after that.
Wow, that's amazing. So all it took was, I mean, your brother came 2 years before that and he thought he was disrespecting your family. And I can completely understand a lot of people around the world hold on to cultural beliefs, habits, and really are unable to break that knowledge base that they've been fed for so long from big industry. Now, I've got a cousin that's in the bodybuilding industry. I used to push weights around as well to a certain point in my life. I do know in the pits of a gym, it's not easy to throw the vegan word around or the plant-based word around. So I suppose let's get into the nitty-gritty of that and how it is possible to transition to a plant-based diet like you did overnight while you are bodybuilding, while you are trying to go after those gains and trying to build definition, etc. Mm-hmm. Like, of course, we know it's possible because we can look at your Instagram accounts and we can look at Nima's Instagram accounts. But how is it possible to do this transition?
Yeah. So for me, it was really a really unknown territory, right? Because my brother was definitely not making any gains. He was more doing track and field and these things at that time. So I was really kind of worried. Not that, you know, I still thought it was worth it and, you know, worth losing all my gains to explore this lifestyle of compassion. So I was ready to, you know, go into yoga or something else. But there were no examples out there. The only person I could find online was Patrick Baboumian. So at least I knew that you could be strong, right? So that was a motivation. But then again, I was like, you know, is he on steroids? Is he taking drugs to help his performance? Like, I didn't know, right? So for me, it was really kind of about just smashing in the calories, because I knew that, like, as long as I'm getting calories, maybe I'm not gonna, you know, lose my muscles all at once, right? So of course, what happened was the exact opposite. I started getting weights faster than ever, and a lot of that was body fat, because I was like really overdoing it on the calories, like way too much. But I realized that, you know, at least, you know, I could see that it was possible to gain weight on a vegan diet as well. I was getting stronger faster than ever before. I remember my main compound lifts were just shooting up in the first weeks. My digestion completely fixed itself within maybe, you know, a couple of days, which was insane.
Did you have a long-standing digestive problem?
Yes. I wouldn't say my whole child. I would say like from maybe from like my whole teen years. So maybe from when I was like 12 or 13, up until, you know, the age of 23 or however old I was when I went vegan. Definitely a long lasting kind of struggle with constipation and bowel movements was definitely a constant struggle, and acne as well. I had a severe cystic acne as well growing up, and these two problems went completely away after switching to a vegan diet, even though I wasn't, you know, doing completely whole foods. I was eating a lot of bread and whatever it took to get those calories in.
Yeah, like a transition diet. Yeah. I just, How long was that process of you witnessing your body turn around? So like, were you witnessing the acne start disappearing? You witnessing your digestive system start getting stronger?
Yeah.
How long?
Yeah. So for the acne, I can't tell because it was getting better. But then when I went vegan, it never came back because usually it would come and then go and then come and then go. But once I went vegan, it just didn't come back, right? So I guess the benefits came straight away from dropping, you know, maybe it was dairy, who knows. And then with digestion, I'd say probably like 48 hours or something like that, you know, it was working perfectly again. So it was crazy, super fast. And especially with these, like with constipation, the fixes can be very, very easy. Like obviously there are different kinds of digestive issues that may take a lot longer to fix. But for me, it was straight away, which was really motivating and amazing. Yeah, for sure.
With your transition into it, you dropped it. You're still on the bread. You're still maybe consuming too many calories, so you're picking up a lot of weight. So how did you start fine-tuning your diet as a bodybuilding athlete?
Yeah, so immediately when I realized I was getting way too much body fat, I was, you know, starting to look a little bit, like my muscle definition was completely gone. I kind of realized that I had to like cut back on the, you know, more processed foods and things like that. And from just doing bodybuilding on a meat-based diet, and being into nutrition and stuff, I knew that processed food wasn't good anyway. So I just cut back on the breads, especially pizza and that kind of stuff. I was just like, you know, cleaning up my diet. At that time, there was no mock meats, no cheese, no mock dairy or whatever you want to call it. At least not to my knowledge. So I never had any of that when transitioning. So what happened was that I just went into a 100% whole food plant-based diet. I think, the plant-based doctors would be very proud of my diet back then. It was very, super clean and extremely whole food based.
Did you go low fat?
I went lower fat, but just because when you're doing whole foods, it's unless you're eating a lot of nuts and seeds, you're automatically going to be pretty low fat, but not like 80-10-10 or anything like that. It was more like maybe 20% of my calories coming from fats, which is still the range that I kind of recommend most of my clients to start off. My body fat melted away. I was still making gains in the gym. When I switched from whole foods, the amazing thing that I learned straight away was that, wow, I don't need to diet and starve myself to lose my body fat as I used to do before. I can just eat healthy whole plant foods with adequate amounts of protein, carbs, and fats and, you know, just have my body fat melt off and still, you know, maintain my strength and progressively make gains in the gym, which was just, it felt like I discovered this crazy hack like that no one was doing online. And I was just so passionate about spreading this message and information. And again, at that time, I don't think anyone else was doing it. So that is why I started building up my audience because that information wasn't out there.
Yeah. So here's the question that's on most non-vegan, non-plant-based lips, especially in the pit of a gym, is that how... Where do vegans get their protein from, right? But besides that, is protein what we're supposed to be focusing on? Or is this just the fallacy? And the second tier to that question, because you can answer in the same answer, is calorie density. Like, it is quite hard if you're eating a whole foods, plant-based diet, if you are a heavy lifter and you are a heavy dude to be consuming if you're bulking, in bulking season. So how can you, how can you answer that question regarding protein and calories?
Yeah, great questions, really important ones. And the question I've been answering every single day on my social media for the last 5 years. Protein is, look, for health in general, you never have to focus on protein, right? If you're getting enough calories, we will be getting enough protein. Maybe, you know, if you're 50, 60 and above, you might want to maybe focus a little bit more on getting more protein-rich foods, but it's not a problem at all. Now, when it comes to elite athletes and bodybuilders and that kind of stuff, yeah, for sure, you have to focus a little bit more on protein because, there is solid science out there suggesting that, you know, increased amounts of protein does help with muscle protein synthesis and hypertrophy. So, but unfortunately, the fitness industry has kind of exaggerated that to no end. So, I know so many friends who eat like 200, 300, 400 grams of protein 40% of the calories come from protein is a very common kind of recommendation by personal trainers and bodybuilders. So that's basically you're overdoing it. You might potentially be putting your kidneys at risk and these things. And of course, you're definitely putting a lot of animals in harm's way by eating this amount of protein from animals. So of course, you do need extra amounts of protein when you're wanting to build muscle, but you can still get that from whole foods. You don't need to be supplementing with a ton of protein powder, although it is convenient because it allows you to kind of not spend too much time in the kitchen. It's a good hack, but it's definitely not something that I recommend to do a lot of. But yeah, like as long as you're like what I recommend for my clients is that like after coaching for so long, it never seemed like people would benefit much from going over 20% of their calories coming from protein. And there's a lot of discussion about how much protein per pound of lean muscle mass is optimal. But what I have kind of my conclusion from the science and from these experts debating this, my conclusion is that it's very individual, depending on so many factors, lifestyle factors, and also, inner factors like how well your body absorbs certain nutrients and things like that. So it's very individual. I don't think there is a number we can give out there that works for everyone. But what I do know is that it's never an issue to build muscle on a vegan diet as long as you're getting, around 20% of calories from protein, which is, not hard if you kind of plan your diet around that. You focus on the protein-rich foods like legumes, grains, nuts and seeds, a lot of dark leafy greens, cruciferous vegetables, mushrooms, and things like that. Really boost your protein intake. And if you're really worried, add a protein powder scoop or something to your smoothies. I've never seen, there's so many examples nowadays, like you're saying. So we know that it's possible. Of course, when you're transitioning from a Western diet into a vegan diet and focusing on fitness, then, you will feel lost in the beginning. But I think the important thing is just to realize that it's a process to learn how, which foods to eat, so that it becomes an intuitive process eventually, because I never track any macros or calories. Everything is just intuitive for me.
This is what I was going to ask you. When you're an elite athlete like yourself, even if you're not a bodybuilder, if you're a football player or whatever sports player, as an elite athlete, are you guys not needing more protein, but actually you just needing more calories? So all your macros are upping. Essentially.
Yeah. And for athletes, I think, yes, for sure. For bodybuilders that are doing their very best to build as much mass as possible, I would say you probably would want to increase your calories, calories and protein intake as well. Especially if you're on a calorie deficit prepping for a show and you're on a very big deficit, you definitely can benefit from more amino acids circling in your system than if you're trying to gain weight. So it really depends as well. But I would say it's not an issue. It's not something that should stop anyone from, trying to be a vegan bodybuilder you don't need as much as, the general public believe. And in terms of calorie density, for me, I have a pretty big appetite. So for me, it's kind of never been an issue at all to get enough calories. I actually usually have the opposite struggle. I get too many in. But everyone's different, right? Some people don't have a big appetite. Some people burn off calories naturally a lot faster than other people, depending on your body type and metabolism, all kinds of stuff. So it really depends. So of course, in terms of calorie density, if you're struggling getting enough calories, just again, focus on calorie dense foods, blending foods together, focus on increasing the amounts of fats into your diet, because those are twice as calorie rich than carbs and protein. It's just about experimentation and gradually progressing towards the calorie range that you want to be doing. And when you're starting out, of course, it can be beneficial to track your calories just to see where you're at and where you can optimize. But the goal, in my opinion, unless you're maybe a top athlete and taking this super seriously, I always recommend people to kind of track as a reference and then have the goal of just intuitive eating, because I think it just makes more sense to eat in a natural way rather than calculating everything.
Yeah, of course. It gets a bit, you get mental fatigue. Like you said, it's not just the diet fads out there that you're battling and you're confused and there's this YouTube channel and this Instagram account and this professional. It's also like you know, you've got these big brands shouting at you, you know, like use our plant protein, use our whey protein. Yeah. Maybe bring some clarity to upcoming elite athletes or just your everyday Joe. The difference between an animal protein and a plant protein.
Yeah, for sure. So it's important to realize that all amino acids, all protein originates in plants, right? So the animals are the middlemen. They're eating the grass or the grains or the soybeans or the corn. And then we, as humans, eat their flesh instead of going right to the source, of course. So it's very like what the number one kind of comeback that meat eaters and people who are very skeptical towards the plant-based diet will say is that, well, you know, beans are only, you know, X grams of protein per 100 grams and beef is, you know, three times the amount. And that is absolutely true. Like, but just because something is higher in protein doesn't mean that it's healthy and definitely doesn't mean that you can't get enough from plants. It just means that you have to eat, you know, a bit larger volumes. And depending, you know, if you, of course, if you eat processed mock meats and stuff, they have, you know, just as much or even more protein than meat. But it's definitely not something that I recommend for longevity and health. But in terms of like quantity, it's just about realizing that, you know, plant protein is almost as equally bioavailable depending on the source. Some sources are equally bioavailable and absorbs into your system just as well as animal products. And some are a little bit lower, but it's not, you know, it's a few percentages. A lot of people will, you know, throw this bioavailability myth out there, but the differences are so small that you wouldn't even notice, right? So it's just about getting the calories from plants and the protein from plants. And the next thing that a lot of people say is, well, the protein from plants is attached to a lot of carbohydrates. Beans, I consider beans a carb source, not a protein source. So this misconception is kind of very, very popular in the fitness industry because the fitness industry is kind of carb phobic. They're scared of carbs because they believe carbs will make you fat and they don't want to eat plant protein because they are attached to carbs. But of course, when you look at the slimmest populations and just from personal experience and coaching so many people, and even scientific studies are made now showing that people who are trying to lose weight on higher amounts of carbs are able to sustain more muscle mass and lose fat more efficiently than those who are restricting carbohydrates too much. So I think it's just, you know, myths out there that have no kind of science backing them up. And it's just about, you know, being an example and showing that carbs aren't, you know, bad, that you don't need as much protein and it's okay to get less protein in your diet. You're not going to be sacrificing anything. And then again, I always go back to the environment and the ethics as well as a big selling point because I think a lot of people connect with that message. They just don't even realize it yet. Like me, when I was you know, eating meat and stuff, I was always a passionate, compassionate person, but I never really made that connection. So,
yeah. This is a very important, I've been waiting for this to come up and I want to get your idea on the strength of the mental and spiritual body when it comes to training. It's not just your physical muscles. How much mm-hmm. do you rely on clarity of mind when it comes to work, training, family life, mm-hmm. etc.?
Yeah, I would say it's, you know, way more important than the actual training itself, right? Because I think whatever your goal is, whatever you're trying to do, unless you kind of, you know, you're in alignment with that action mentally, you're not going to be able to sustain it. You're not going to be able to enjoy it and you're not going to get results. So the mental aspect is huge. Like I'm a huge believer in, like I'm a huge fan of you know, psychology. And I think that everyone has to start with their mind before trying to tackle things physically or doing, you know, a lot of exercise. They have to figure out why is this important for me? How will this benefit me and the people around me? And just get, you know, really clear on what your values as a person is and then try to attach the action that you want to be taking or the kind of new thing that you want to start doing in the new years, whether it's, you know, going to the gym or running more. Try to attach that action into your deepest values so you understand how these actions will benefit you on a deeper level and give a lot of fulfillment into your life.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And I always tend to ask this question. It's like, do people actually understand why they are training? I feel a lot of people nowadays are training because they ate a big meal the night before or they had a big Christmas lunch or they want to have a six-pack like the Men's Health magazine cover guy. And there's very few people that are wanting total wellness. Mm-hmm. And do you believe this shift can happen? We are starting to get influences that are advocating, you know, like total wellness and balancing our mental, spiritual, and physical being. But I find that big industry is holding it back almost.
Well, like I think I would be way more popular on social media if the mainstream was ready for this message. Unfortunately, it's not quite there yet. I believe there is a conscious awakening and more kind of focus on wellness and the holistic aspect of it. But I think it will still take maybe 5 to 10 more years, or maybe even more. I'm hoping that it's going to happen next year, so I can like influence more people and just like help as many people as possible. But there's still a very big limit. And like you're saying, this kind of limitation is unfortunately partly at least due to, you know, mainstream media influence from celebrities and sports people, and obviously big industry, like, you know, big pharma, animal industry and all these things, and Hollywood and everything else. So, this is what I'm fighting for every single day. Like, I wake up and I try to spread this holistic wellness message rather than, you know, I kind of sell myself as fitness. I put, you know, pictures of me flexing my muscles. People get the wrong idea sometimes, but my main mission every single day when I wake up is a holistic approach to mental and physical well-being. And I'm hoping that, you know, people are starting to shift. I was expecting, you know, like you always want the best and you always want people to catch on as quick as possible. But I'm patient, yeah, and I'll be here for forever trying to do this. So yeah, hopefully we can see a shift happen a little bit quicker.
Well, what do you think is holding people back from pretty much taking wellness, like total wellness, seriously?
Mm-hmm. Influencers. So power, people in power, adopting a more healthy mindset and a more holistic approach, because people are influenced by others. Like, there is no one who's not influenced by anyone. Like, we're social animals. We're kind of like, you know, have the tribe mentality. So we need more tribe leaders to adopt this mentality and, you know, explore ways of living that are more in alignment with what we want to see. Right. So it's happening, but it's not happening at a nearly as quick rate as I wanted to. And also a lot of influencers and actual, like, you know, celebrities and A-list celebrities and actors and singers are all vegan, and they might throw it here and there, but they're not, you know, really, a lot of times, not really influencing anyone else to kind of look into it a little bit more or explain why they are doing what they're doing because of fear of breaking their contract or disappointing their managers, blah, blah, blah. So the system in place in the world is also holding us back and holding those artists back from actually sharing what they believe in and creating some greater change. So right now we're just depending on social media, people like myself and so many others to kind of do this without strings attached and just say it how it is and try to influence people that way, which is fine. Cause I, you know, if every, you know, A-list celebrity and actor were able to do that, we, like, you know, I think we wouldn't, you know, even have to do it. So like, for me, it's a good thing because I always wanted to kind of spread this message. But it is sad at the same time that these people are kind of holding back for whatever reason and not really making a positive, like, they're making a positive impact on the world by providing smiles and entertainment and all these things, which are amazing. But at the end of the day, if you really look at it from a bird's eye view and from a third person's perspective, I think the amount of influence these people could have if they really explain the emotional and the rational reasoning for them being vegan, I think a lot more people would start adopting it, because again, people follow leaders and it's up to the leaders of the world to make these changes.
Of course. And it's due to leaders like yourself, you know, and it's changing your tribe around you. It doesn't always have to be for people listening. It doesn't have to be people with 300,000 followers on Instagram or 2 million followers on Facebook. Like, you can influence your family wherever you're sitting. You can influence your family, and I think at the end of the day, we all want the same ending. Meaning, we all want to be happy, and happiness comes from health. And we might just be taking different methods, but we'll get there.
Yeah,
I think, you know, sitting in a place like Bali where it's slightly more conscious, I would say, than like, I would say, like, the Western world. A lot of your expats are coming here and realizing, you know, like, wellness is is more to it than just the gym. Mm-hmm. But what is your structure? What is the John Venus structure of your personal day? Like, how do you bring in training, whole food eating, mindfulness, family time, etc.? Mm-hmm. If you can walk us through your day.
Yeah, I'll do my best. And I just want to touch on one thing that I think you mentioned that I think is really important. And this is something that I say in a lot of my speeches when I do public speaking, is I talk to the audience that is sitting in front of me and I explain to them that they are the influencers, not me, right? Everyone has a power to influence someone. It's really important to realize that and not, you know, have the excuse of, oh, I don't have X amount of followers to, you know, spread my message. So I just want to, you know, say that what you said is really, really important. I want the people listening to really take that to heart and realize how much power each individual person has. But yeah, in terms of like the actual structure of my day, my structure is very unstructured, to be honest, right now, especially since having a baby. And we travel around a lot. We do a lot of different things. So I try to have some sort of structure in this chaos. And usually I'll just start my day with, a cup of, water, maybe lemon water or something like that. And then I spend maybe 2 hours with my son, playing around with him and being fully present with him and playing, reading books, all these things. And then after that, I will have my first meal of the day, which usually is maybe some oatmeal with a lot of berries, fruits, nuts and seeds. And then afterwards, I will start my work day. So. I try to work at least, 4 to 6, sometimes up to 8 or 10 hours a day, depending on the day and what's happening, because I don't have any fixed kind of like 9 to 5 or anything like that. So I start my work in the morning and then I have a break in the middle of the day to go to the gym and work out for 1 hour. And then I'll have a post-workout meal, which is usually a smoothie with a scoop of protein powder, bunch of leafy greens, again, berries and fruits, and maybe some hemp seeds, for example. Things like that, just as much nutrients as possible. And then after that, I'll go back to work, basically, in the office. I'll do whether it's coaching or making a YouTube video or anything else. I'll spend a couple more hours working, and then I'll have my dinner or lunch, I should say. And then that could be something like a stir fry. With a lot of vegetables, maybe sweet potatoes, things like that. Just a lot of vegetables and leafy greens mixed with some sort of starchy vegetable, like sweet potato, pumpkin, or butternut squash, or something like that. And then a side of either brown rice or quinoa. And in the stir fry, I also like to add tempeh or tofu as a good protein source. And then again, I'll go back out and do some more work in the office. Maybe spend more time with the kid right before he goes to bed for an hour or so, and then I'll have the last meal of the day, which could be it could be anything, to be honest. It's very random. I don't have a fixed kind of eating pattern, it could be something like a tofu scramble, for example, with toast or maybe a burrito bowl or avocado toast, something simple that is quick to prepare. And that's pretty much it. Like I spend some time with Catherine. We just talk, and maybe we watch some YouTube videos or something like that. And then I go to bed. I actually forgot to throw in our daily walk. That usually happens at 11 o'clock every day when my son goes to sleep. So that's kind of part of the morning routine right now. Just going out in nature, going for a walk every single day for 1 hour and a half with Catherine. And that's kind of like my meditation for the day.
That's it's a super balanced day in the life of John Venus and his family. Cause I think a lot of people look at like YouTubers and Instagram influencers and people that are just out there in the public eye. And they're like, always wonder like, what do they do on a daily basis? You know, like I see them with their shirt off, with their eight pack.
Right.
And it's cool to hear that you've just got a really normal family life. And you put in the hard
yards. Nothing special.
Yeah, exactly. And it's beautiful. And I really do appreciate you sharing your belief on balancing the physical, the mental, and the spiritual side of things. I think it's very important for people to make that connection. So for the, I've got five fire questions. Let's get on with them. One, what do you think the soul is?
The soul?
Yeah.
Never been asked that question before. The soul, I would say it's just the intangible consciousness of each individual person. That's how I see it, at least.
What is your definition of God or higher power?
Very good. My definition of God and higher power. Yeah, this is a funny question because, like, you know, I've never really kind of talked about this subject too much. I am very spiritual in terms of, like, I do believe in a higher power, but in terms of putting words to it and really kind of explaining what it is, it's kind of hard because I've never kind of thought about it that way. I think it's hard to explain something that you don't fully understand. And for me, that's part of it. It's just embracing what you don't understand and realizing that there is a powerful force in the universe that is, you know, guiding you and helping you and you know, showing the way. So yeah, it's a tough question. I don't know how to put pen to paper on that one, but yeah.
Three, complete the sentence. The world needs?
The world needs compassion.
Four, what is the purpose of the human experience?
I for me, again, it's about, you know, doing the best that you can without, like, in collaboration, like, you know, being compassionate, kind, and always trying to figure out what the win-win situation for everyone.
Amazing. For the last one, how important is human connection and why?
Human connection is extremely important. I mean, we're living through this epidemic of depression and anxiety and these things that are kind of partly at least caused by the lack of real human connection. I think connection is everything. Like for me, I noticed straight away that if I don't have human connection, my mood just drops straight away. My views become more cynical, and it's just not a good thing. It's very clear, and there's so much science supporting that we as humans need social connection. So it's extremely important.
Thank you so much, John. You are so much more than just a health and fitness expert.
I appreciate
that. You encompass so much. I resonate with you. I know a lot of the listeners will. And they're probably going to want to reach out to you. So what's the best channel? Can people reach out to you on? Is it Instagram, Facebook? Where is it at? Email?
The easiest is always Instagram because I just feel that the DM system there is the best. So if you're trying to reach me personally, I try to reply to everyone's messages. So you can just Instagram would be the best place for sure. Facebook is definitely the worst. So I really don't check my inbox there. Instagram for sure. Okay, and YouTube as well is good, but I don't, like, you know, it's not very good for messaging.
Yeah, of course. I'll put all John's links in the show notes, guys, so give him a shout out. But thank you again for sharing your story. I really appreciate you and your experience.
I appreciate you, and thank you so much for having me. It's been a blast.
It means so much to myself and my change-making friends that you decided to spend some of your valuable time with us. It would mean even more if you could share their inspiring message to your loved ones. As someone once told me, the only thing more powerful than changing the world every day for the good is doing it with a community. Guys, I love you and I cannot wait to welcome you back next week. Remember to reach out to me directly at hello@garytirola.com if you have any questions, or hit me up on social media, Gary_Tirola, Instagram, and Facebook. I'm here for you, so let's do this together.